A young man walks into a candy store and he tells the owner, I need to buy 3 boxes of candy. I want a $10 box, a $20 box, and a $50 box. And the man behind the counter says, son, why do you need 3 boxes of candy? He says, sir, I've got a first date tonight, and it could be very special. When I take her home, if she shakes my hand, she gets a $10 box. If she gives me a hug, she gets the $20 box. And if she gives me a goodnight kiss, she gets the $50 box. And so that night, he picks her up, and she invites him in for dinner and with her family. And so they sit down at the table, and her father says, it's our custom to say grace before the meal. Son, would you say the prayer? Yes, sir. And he prays this elaborate, beautiful, long spiritual prayer. And when he finishes, his date leans over and whispers, I had no idea you were so spiritual. He said, I had no idea your dad owns a candy store. Sometimes we pray very big prayers when there's something big at stake, right? When something suddenly really matters to us, when something is on the line, we pray. We know how to pray when we see those blue lights turn on behind us. And the passage that we're going to read this morning, what we see is a church that believes so deeply in what God is doing that they didn't just pray small, safe prayers. They prayed boldly. So our reading this morning is being Acts chapter 4. We'll be there in just a moment. Peter and John had just healed a man, and they were arrested because of it. And they're brought in before the Sanhedrin, the religious body, the same ones that had Jesus crucified. And they say, you're not supposed to be doing this. They're questioning them, and they tell them, don't speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And then they release them. Now think about that for a moment. It's a brand new movement. Everything is still new. Things are just getting started, and already there is pressure. There's opposition. Already there is a call. So what do they do next? They go back to the church. They go back to their people, and they gather, and the first thing they do is pray. They don't strategize. They don't recalibrate. They don't try to think, what do we need to do, or panic. It says they pray, and not just individually. They lifted their voices together to God. One voice, one church, one heart, one prayer. And what they pray tells us everything about the kind of church that they were becoming. So before we go any further, we're going to read this text. And I don't want us to just read it. I want us to step into it. So we're going to join the church in this prayer. We're going to throw it up on screen, and whenever it's in yellow, I want to invite you to say those words with me, to read it out loud. So I know you just sat down. You're about to sit down for a little bit longer, but can you just stand up for the reading of God's word? We're going to be in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 23. So when the letters are yellow, join in with me. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Let's read that one more time. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, to read these words and to know of such bold courage to trust you and to step in to what you have planned, to trust you, God, we ask for just a fraction of that. You're the same God. You haven't changed. God, this morning, be with us as we study your word. Be with me as I preach. May the words that I say come from you. May your spirit move within us. As we sang earlier, your spirit lives within us, so we will walk in your peace. God, thank you for the gift of your word and for Jesus Christ, who binds us all together. We pray this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for that. So what we just read shows what happens when people really understand who Jesus is. And what we're going to see in this text is three things. They see God clearly, they pray boldly, and they live ready. So they begin like this. Sovereign Lord. Just two words. But those two words say everything about their situation and where their trust is. Before they get into the problems they're dealing with, they start with who God is. Now that word, sovereign, means, it's maybe not a word we use every day, but the best way that I've found to understand it is that God is in charge. God knows everything. God is overall. He is in all. Nothing is outside of his rule or his reign or outside of his authority. That doesn't mean that everything that happens is what God wants to have happen. It's not that everything is good or that God causes these things. But what it does mean is this, that nothing catches him off guard. God isn't surprised. Nothing is beyond his control, even when it doesn't make sense to us. Nothing can stop his purposes. They say, Sovereign Lord, you made the earth and the sea and the heavens and everything in them. In other words, God, you are over it all. You are not surprised by this. You're not limited by this. And you are not reacting. You are reigning. And they go even further. They say that what happened to Jesus, his arrest, his suffering, his crucifixion, that wasn't outside of God's knowledge or control. That happened according to his plan, which means that the moment they're in right now is not outside of God's control either. They trust him because here's the deal. Bold prayer begins with a big view of God. If our God is small, our prayers are going to be small. If our God is distant, our prayers are going to be hesitant. If our God is sovereign, though, we can pray boldly. God is sovereign, and that means that God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. That is always aligned with his character. We often will think to ourselves, well, if God would just do this, God, why don't you do what I want you to do here? And the reality is, maybe what I want isn't in line with God's character. But our God, our sovereign God, has chosen to work through the prayers of his people. Man, I think that's why Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. That means somehow, in God's design, he invites us into what he is doing through prayer. So let me ask you something. Could it be that the greatest obstacle to what God wants to do is not the brokenness of the world, but the prayerlessness of the church? Could it be? We say, God, why do we see this brokenness and it's terrible and it's an obstacle to your purposes? Could it be it's because we don't pray? James says it plainly. He says, you don't have because you don't ask. When we believe that God is sovereign, we don't pray timid prayers. We pray boldly. Here's the second thing. That's what they do. They pray because when they finally make their request in prayer, they say, now, Lord, consider their threats. They don't argue or ignore about, they don't ignore about what's happening. Right? They don't pretend everything is hunky-dory. We're good. They bring it to God. But notice what they ask for. They don't ask for safety. They don't ask for protection. They say, enable your servants to speak your word with boldness. Oftentimes, when we're sending groups on a mission trip, we have this tendency, because it's our kids sometimes, we pray for safety. God, put a hedge of protection around them. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because I want my kids to not go to a foreign country and disappear, and then I have to play, you know, I don't know you, but I will find you. You know, I don't want to do that. I don't know how to do that. Some of you do, but we pray for safety. And here they pray for boldness. When do we pray for boldness for our mission trips? God, we pray for boldness that they proclaim your name without any hesitation or fear. That word speak, when they say enable your servants to speak, it matters. They're asking for courage to bear witness to Jesus Christ, to make him known. And for most of us, that means using their voices. But at the heart of this, they wanted boldness to communicate Christ, to make him known and whatever that requires. For them, it was speaking. But to make him known through words, through actions, through their lives, because the gospel is not meant to just stay inside us. It's meant to be expressed because, man, we can go, oh, I am so loved and I love the gospel of Jesus Christ for me. And I love the grace of God for me and for you too, but it's mainly about me. And in that, we mirror Israel. In the Old Testament, Israel was told, you are the light to the nations. And they said, look at us. We have God's presence with us. God just loves us. Hey, we're going to go do this, but God loves us and will protect us. And it wasn't the job that they were supposed to do. They were supposed to tell the nations, be a light to the nations, and you and I can find ourselves in there. See, they weren't asking God to change their situation. They were asking God to change them. Those religious leaders were the most powerful men in Jerusalem. Like I said, same ones that had Jesus crucified. And they could have dealt with Peter and John very severely. The early church could have feared persecution that would come. But instead they say, you don't determine our future. We ask for boldness to do even more. See, prayer is a rebuke of earthly authority. It is a way of saying that rulers and authorities don't decide the future. Circumstances do not decide the future. The ruler of the universe decides the future. And so prayer is asking God to enter into history and do what he wants to do. So when God tells Abraham and Sarah, hey, you're going to have a baby in your old age, they laughed. And God said, is anything too hard for the Lord? That's what prayer does. When Mary is confronted by the angel Gabriel, he says, you're going to give birth to the son. She goes, how can that be? I'm not pregnant. He says, nothing is impossible with our God. Prayer fuels the boldness that you're of your faith because you remember who you're talking to. So if we're talking to the universe, and I've said this before, but if we're talking to the universe, why do we pray such puny prayers? God, here's the bare minimum we're asking you to do. Instead of going, hey, God, we trust you. Do more than all we can possibly ask or imagine. We pray to a God who is just as willing to be active today as he was in the Old Testament and the New Testament. That means that extraordinary should be ordinary in the church. We should expect that God is going to move. We should get comfortable expecting ordinary, extraordinary things. I heard a story about a woman. She went to take her son, who was very sick, to the doctor. She got the prescription, and she brought the son home, and she was going to go out and get a prescription. She goes into the pharmacy, walks out, and realizes, I locked my keys in my car. And so her son says, try a coat hanger. She tries everything. She can't get it unlocked. And she starts praying, God, please send me someone who can break into my car. And a man comes up. He says, ma'am, do you need help? She goes, yes, I'm locked out of my car. I can't get my keys. And he goes, well, I can help you with that. 2 minutes or less, he's in the car. And he goes, there you go, ma'am. She goes, oh, my goodness, thank you. I was praying for someone to break into my car. You must be a Christian, or, you know, you must be this good man. Thank you. And he says, I'm not a Christian, and I'm not a good man. I just got out of prison. And she said, thank God he sent a professional. Look, when you and I pray, we should expect extraordinary things to happen from our God. Not because he owes it to us, but because he is beyond what we can imagine. Nothing lies outside of the reach of prayer except what lies outside of the will of God. You cannot manipulate God's will. God proved that at Easter. You can't seal a door too tight that he can't open. And if he does open that door, he's going to ask you to walk through it probably. Because when the church prays like that, God responds. And it calls us to live ready. Acts tells us that after they prayed, the place where they were meeting shook. And the Holy Spirit filled them, and they proclaimed the word of God boldly. God moves, not because they had the perfect plan, not because they had all of the resources, but because they depended on him. Don't miss this. They didn't just pray for boldness, they lived it. They prayed for it and they stepped into it. They didn't ask God to move only, they stepped into what God was doing, because prayer isn't just about what God does, it's about who we become. The more you pray for the future that God wants, the more you're going to want God to use you to build it. If you start praying for people, don't be surprised when God brings someone into your life. You start praying for patience. Don't be surprised when he doesn't give you patience, but he gives you things to test your patience. If you start praying for needs, don't be surprised when God asks you to meet one of those needs. And if you pray for mission, don't be surprised when God asks you to step into it. We've prayed for a long time. God, we want to be your heart to this community. For 16 years, that was the vision statement of our church. And as a church, we've prayed that. And in many ways, those things have happened over those years. But I think about what has happened in the last 5 years. 2019, we removed the pews and put in chairs. And since that time, every year, we've been able to host Hypothermia Prevention Week. The last 2 years, we've been able to do Night to Shine to our community. We've had the ladies' conference in here. We've taken out chairs. We've done Easter brunch, which if you haven't signed up, pick a meal and let's go. Shameless plug. We've been able to do so many things. And a lot of that is because of the prayers that God has asked us to do. Bold prayer is not just asking God to open doors. It's asking God to move and make us ready to move with him. So we don't just pray, God, make this happen. We say, God, make us ready. Make us bold. Make us willing and faithful to what you put in front of us. Because if God opens the door, we want to be the kind of church that walks in through it. If everything we're doing as a church can succeed without prayer, then we're not doing anything that requires God. In Acts chapter 4, they didn't think about it. They didn't think about prayer. They lift their voices together, the text says, in prayer. I don't know. Were they all saying the same words at the same time? I don't know. But God meets them there. And they're united. They express their lives and the whole body of Christ together. God, make us bold. And so this morning, we're going to spend some time in prayer. Because you can't talk about praying boldly and not pray boldly. So in a minute, or for the next, I'm going to ask you to bring one person before God. We've done it before. We will again later this year of who's your one? Who's the one person that doesn't know Jesus or that's so far away from God that's on your heart? We have them. We all know them. Maybe someone who's drifted, and you probably already know who that person is. Maybe it's your spouse, a coworker. Maybe it's your child, a sibling. Think about that name. And we're going to pray in just a moment, silently. And it's okay if you hear kids moving and parents with little kids. It's okay during the prayer if they're talking. God understands that language too. We're going to pray that God would move in their lives. Who's your one? That he would open their heart. That he would give you the opportunity and the courage to make Jesus known. And then I want you to pray for us, for our church. That God would move powerfully among us, that he would guide us, that he would open doors. This shouldn't just be a once a week prayer. This to be a daily prayer. God, move. Make us bold and bold to step through it. That we wouldn't just talk about the church that we want to be, that we would be the kind of people who are ready. And maybe for some of you, you're thinking, I don't even know how to pray. And that's okay. Prayer isn't about getting the words right. It's not about the right posture. It's about being honest with God. So if you don't know what to say, just start there. You can just, in your prayer, in your quiet time, just say, God, I don't even know how to do this. But I'm here. Maybe. Maybe all you can do is just bring a name to him. The name that's on your mind, that all you can do is just think about that. And all you feel is burden or even emotion. I want you to understand God hears all of that. Scripture says that the Holy Spirit that lives within us, the one that we sang about earlier, it speaks in our weakness. When we don't know what to say, Holy Spirit speaks to the Father in groans and words that we don't know, but God does. Just come to him. Because prayer is not how we get God to do our will. It's how God gets us to do his will. And what God wants is a future that's greater than anything that we can imagine. Paul put it this way, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, that Holy Spirit power. Think about that for a second. God is able to do more than you and I could even possibly imagine. You're thinking, God, I want you to bring this person to come see Jesus, and God is probably powerful enough, and he is, there's no probably, to bring that whole family to come to know Jesus. And what he's going to do to you in changing you in the process. We live into our vision with prayer. We sustain it by praying. And we'll only accomplish what God has for us because we prayed. And God will get the glory. It won't be us. We're a footnote in history, if that. But our God doesn't waver. We serve a kingdom that is unshakable. And so, we're going to pray. And in Scripture, there are prayer postures. Sometimes they're laying flat on the ground. I won't ask you to do that. Sometimes they're standing. Sometimes they're kneeling. We never see them sitting. But I'm going to invite you this morning just to stay where you are. And bow your heads. Pray for your one. Lift their name up before Jesus. And pray for boldness of our church and for you that you will step into what God wants. And then I'll bring us back and pray over us. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, you are in control of the heavens and the earth and all within. God, may the name that is on our minds, the people that are on our hearts, make us bold. You pray that words with me, make us bold. Make us bold. God, may you make us bold to speak to them, to pray for them daily. God, I pray for our church, Lord, would you say this with me, everyone? Make us bold. Make us bold. Let's say that again. Make us bold. God, make us bold in proclaiming Jesus. Not just be static in our prayers for Sunday, but that it's something that is continual, that every day we are praying, God, make us as a church bold for Jesus Christ so that we can proudly proclaim him to those who do not know him. To those who are far away, that we can show the love of Jesus, that we can proclaim his name to the nations around us and beyond, so that you are glorified. We're not talking about increased chair numbers and tails in the seats and all of that stuff, Father, but souls in your kingdom. Make us bold as a church. Use us, make us yours. I pray this in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. Amen.